Welcome to the Sample Chapter Podcast, the show where authors read a sample chapter from one of their books. Here's your host, Jason A. Maisky.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 254 of the Sample Chapter Podcast. Hey, this week I've got a delightful interview with a truly wonderful guest in Mark Stevens. Mark is joining us this week to discuss his latest release, The Fireballer, which came out January 1st of this year, 2024. But not only that, we are discussing a little bit of his past, how his background affected his writing, the research that went into it, what libraries mean to him, how the world of mystery books got him into writing in the first place. We're going to be hearing about his Alison Croyle mystery series and the inspiration behind that, as well as the inspiration behind his latest book, Fireballer. We're also hearing how he was scared and yet thrilled to write in a new genre for him and what he learned about himself in doing so. Before it's over, we're also talking about whether or not any of his old stories will see the light of day. And then we wrap things up with a would you rather question that I think is pretty interesting. It's one you're going to find fascinating. So all that and more is coming up here shortly. And then, of course, don't forget, everyone, next episode we'll be back and you're going to hear Mark's reading of The Fireballer, which is, oh my gosh, is so good. You don't want to miss out on that as well. But all that's coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Meanwhile, I want to make sure to invite you to check out our friends at Pop Goes the Culture Network. They are, again, covering some more of the events that they've been to recently, and they have a couple of other shows, all of them pop culture related, and lots of fun to check out. Our affiliate at Writer's Block Coffee has three amazing flavors for you to choose from the Writer's Block Blend, the Deadline Dark, or my personal favorite, as you know, the Whiskey Barrel Aged Blend. You can choose one or choose all from that, and they actually have some new options available to you soon, so check into that. Make sure to also click the link for our store at TeePublic, where you can find lots of really neat merchandise for the show. There's even some merchandise that have my books, and I've been designing other t-shirts and things here recently. I got a Fall Guy one that is catching on here lately. So that's a fun one. And then you can check out lots of other designs while you're in there from a ton of different talented artists within TeePublic. And right now, this week of March 18th, they are doing a bundle sale. So click that link in the show notes to get over to our store and you can check out all the stuff that's happening at TeePublic. Hey, don't forget to follow the show on social media. We're available on Facebook, Instagram, and X Twitter. You can follow the show on any podcast platform, including YouTube. And if you want to reach out to the show, you can do so through email at samplechapterpodcast@gmail.com. All right, well, that's enough from me this week. And so let's go ahead and move things along with the show by getting over to our interview with the delightful Mark Stevens. Hello, Sample Chapter listeners. Welcome back. Hey, this week we are going to be discussing a brand new release that just came out January 1st. It's called The Fireballer from our guest, Mark Stevens. Mark Stevens is the son of two librarians. He was raised in Lincoln, Massachusetts, and has worked as a reporter, a television news producer, and in public relations. He is the author of The Fireballer that we're going to be hearing about today, as well as the Alison Croyle mystery series, which have been finalists for the Colorado Book Awards, and one of those, Trapline, has actually won one of those awards. In 2016, Stevens was named Rocky Mountain Fiction Writer of the Year, and he hosts a regular podcast for Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers, while also serving, or has served, as the president of the Rocky Mountain Chapter for Mystery Writers of America. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the show, Mark Stevens. Hi, Mark.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, Jason.
I'm thrilled to have you here. And it's ironic. I took an extended break through the end of November to this month, really. And I think my last episode I had done in November was also a baseball book. So this is unique today that we're getting to have another book I appreciate it. But spring training's coming around the corner.
That's right. A few weeks till pitchers and catchers report.
That's right. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your past. You've done some work sort of in the book field before. What was your introduction like? Did you always want to write?
Well, the main thing folks need to know about me is I'm a son of two librarians. I grew up in a world of books and information and, you know, just two thoughtful, smart folks who had tons of books around them. My father was more the nonfiction guy and I was more the fiction kind of, I mean, my mother was more the fiction kind of person. I dug both growing up. I don't know if I ever really, I mean, I enjoyed writing creatively through grade school and high school. I enjoyed those classes when they came around, but I wouldn't say the idea of really taking it seriously didn't come until probably the early 1980s. My second job in journalism, working in Denver, and having always been a big reader, but I can't say I really thought, hey, I can really write fiction. I want to write fiction. And then somebody handed me my first mystery novel, which I'd never really explored the world of mysteries and crime fiction. And that just sort of opened my eyes to a really entertaining genre. And off I went reading. And then I suddenly thought, hey, this seems like a pretty straightforward approach to a story. You've got a beginning, a middle, and an end. You've got a murder, you've got a mystery, whodunit. Mm-hmm. Could you possibly wrap your head around trying to come up with a story? So I started in, and I can tell you it was basically I just got the bug right away because I enjoyed the process. So
yeah. That's great. Yes. Oh gosh, I remember, you know, you talk about being in the library so much. I remember the 70s and 80s, like that being the place to go for me as a kid. Mm-hmm. And go and find, you know, your favorite books to read or get on that library card and order a book. If you can't find it, ask them to send one to you. And even into the early 2000s, when I'd gotten out of the military and my wife joined, we still had a library in Minot, North Dakota that they could find books and order something. Oh yeah, it'll be here in about another week or something like that. We found one at such and such library across the country. And that was just, that was so cool. And I kind of miss those days.
Yeah. It just seemed sort of endless. You know, you could just walk in and be curious or have a question or poke around, or you could just go randomly around the stacks and just see what kind of piqued your interest and then just sit there on the floor or grab a bunch of books and take them to a table or something, you know?
Yeah.
You just get lost.
Yeah, exactly. I remember there was one time when I was in grade school, I had an art piece that I had done in class that got hung up at the library for about a month. And I made my mom go there like every weekend so we could see that. So she could see it, take a picture of me. And then while we were there, while we're there, I'm going to go over here and take a look at some of these books too. So
yeah.
Well, so how has any of your background, like as a reporter or anything in your background, come forward into your writing? Do you use any of that?
Boy, I think the main thing in terms of the fiction side, I think that being a reporter in terms of research and not being, you know, I'm totally shameless when it comes to asking anybody anything. So just being familiar with picking up the phone and calling people and saying, I need to, you know, research something or get to know a topic better. And in more than a few occasions, I've asked, you know, law enforcement folks for ride-alongs, even as a fiction writer, to just go for a ride, spend a day with a law enforcement officer and really get to see their world and take notes. Mm-hmm. That, I think, transferred pretty easily into writing fiction. But the actual word-by-word and craft thing, to me, are completely two separate heads. They're all words, they're having to do with putting words in the right order and being in one case informative and the other case entertaining. But to me, they're, my head just goes to different spaces, whether I'm writing something that's going to be considered journalism or writing something that's going to be considered fiction. So I guess just in general, the curiosity, I'm curious as a reporter to go learn about stuff and write about it and try to tell an audience. And in a way, I think being a fiction writer is also has that curiosity factor, because I'm curious to see where a story is going and what world I can pull readers into. So there might be some common themes there.
Yeah. Well, so you're Allison Coyle Mysteries, and you were saying that the mysteries, when you first read your first mystery, that kind of hooked you there. Tell us about that experience. When, like, did you have that like lightning bolt moment where you're like, I know what I want to write about? Or was it just kind of a slowly over time, something kind of started to formulate?
Well, the specific idea for the Allison Coyle series definitely was a lightning bolt moment, totally galvanizing moment. To make a kind of long story short, I had written two crime fiction novels in the 80s and one in the early 90s. Both had good agents in New York. Both had lots of hope attached to them. I thought in one case, the second book, that I was probably going to be really well set because I had such a great agent, and they were very, very optimistic about selling it, but they couldn't in the end. So, I mean, I was still in that mode of really enjoying the creative process. And I can't say for sure I was looking around for a brand new idea. And that's why I know it was a lightning bolt moment, because it came at a sort of unexpected, at an unexpected time. I had written two very urban kind of concrete jungle sorts of crime fiction novels. I won't go into the plots of those unless you want me to. And then, you know, I found myself on a back of a mule on a day long horseback ride way up in the mountains in Western Colorado, in an area called the Flat Tops Wilderness, which is a gorgeous wilderness area in Western Colorado. And I was being led on this day-long horseback ride. There were probably like 8 or 10 of us on a summer ride. I was led by this young woman who was incredibly knowledgeable about her surroundings, very, very personable, super articulate and scientific about everything from the cloud formations to the geology to the just everything about the landscape that we were walking through or riding through. And then she casually mentioned that she was also a hunting guide come fall during the hunting season.
Yeah.
And that was the moment I said, wow, a female hunting guide. So you would have, you know, probably mostly men led by a woman. You'd have rough winter or late fall conditions. You'd have all sorts of weather. You'd be in the outdoors. I mean, this whole idea just sort of came to me instantly about a protagonist, a main character who was a female hunting guide. And did I think I was going to be writing a 5-book series at that moment? No, I thought I would just write one book, and I did write one book, and that finally got out in 2007 and did well enough that it just kept rolling.
Yeah. Do you plan it out, or do you just kind of write and see where it goes, pantsing it?
I'm a complete pantser. I have no idea how the outliners do it. I think it's amazing, some sort of magic that they can conjure a whole outline before writing the novel, because I have no clue as to how it's going to be shaped and how it's going to be structured until I'm done. And I just sort of get a general concept of some scenes, some ideas and themes I want to attack, and then I just start writing.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I've more or less pantsing it. I've also been playing around with an idea for a while before I start. So by the time I start, I'm committed. I'm like, yeah, I want to get started on this. This is I'm excited. And so I want to get going. And if I can do more than three chapters, then I know, okay, yeah, I'm going to keep going with this.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good sign. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, so where did the idea for Fireballer come from?
So, I thought I would, once I started writing crime fiction, I thought that would be it. That would be my genre. I would never not write crime fiction. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine, actually a former boss of mine, somebody I worked with in the public school system, I was in communications and he was a superintendent in Denver. And he and I really bonded over three things. We were good friends at work, but we really loved talking about politics. We loved talking about books of all kinds. He was as big a reader as I am and was at the time. And the third thing we bonded over was baseball. We could talk about baseball for hours and discuss teams and different stories and things like that. And one day over lunch, by lunch, I mean a burrito in a park, kind of a lunch, just casually shooting the breeze. He said, you should write a book about a pitcher who ruins the game of baseball. And I said, what do you mean, Irv? And he said, think about it. Right now, in the top speeds of pitching in the major leagues, the record is 106 miles an hour that a pitcher has thrown a pitch. And at 106 miles an hour, a batter has 0.3 seconds to decide whether to swing, to swing itself, to get the bat off the shoulder and around through the strike zone. And so decide and then swing and then decide where and how to swing. It's one of the most phenomenal athletic things any athlete has to do. And that's why failure is basically every hitter is walking up to the plate knowing that at least 7 out of 10 times they're going to fail. It's a very hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. So the premise of my friend's idea was, if you come up with a pitcher who's throwing a little bit faster than 106 at 108 or 110, there's no time left for the game. It's an existential crisis for the game. There's no time left to swing. And so the question would be, what does the sport do? And what does this individual athlete that we're going to focus the book on, mm-hmm. what is his story? And that was half the idea for the book. And I thought it was kind of interesting, but it wasn't crime fiction. And mm-hmm. I didn't really know what I was going to do with the story. And that night, my brain was kind of percolating, I guess, on the concept, because out of nowhere, I thought, what if this pitcher as a little leaguer had thrown a pitch that had badly hurt, or worse, up an opposing batter? What if this pitcher who is ruining the game of baseball and is the focus of all the national conversation about the sport is carrying around this very heavy piece of emotional baggage from when he was a 12-year-old? Mm-hmm. And that was just a galvanizing moment for me, where I suddenly just felt the character. And I said, okay. So I called Irv back the next day, my friend, and I told him the idea. He said, that's it. That's great. And I called my agent and I bounced the whole idea off him. And he said he really, really liked the idea. And so then I had to write it.
And it's like you said, it's different from your crime that you were writing in the past. That had to have been kind of refreshing, scary, but refreshing.
I think those are the exact perfect two conflicting words in my head. I was absolutely terrified and also kind of like intrigued, and refreshing might be right. Like, how do I approach this knowing that there's not the basic typical murder mystery setup of, and we have to find out who done it. It's more of an interior journey for our main character and a struggle to learn about himself and figure out how to deal with what happened. Actually, it's about 8 or 9 years prior to the main events in the book.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Is there anything you've kind of, you know, learned about yourself branching out into a different genre like this?
Wow, that's a great question. I guess I learned that I can handle non-crime fiction for one thing, but I think your question's a little deeper than that, which I respect. And I guess, you know, more from the writing side, and maybe more less from the kind of personal side, I think I learned that you really can explore emotions in a more rich and complex way than kind of you might be surprised, or I think I surprised myself that I was able to deal with a richer emotional landscape for my character and to really let that emotional landscape drive the story itself. Mm-hmm. And so I think that coming up with the idea and holding it up as a kind of a story idea to myself challenged me to look at some emotions and understand a little bit more about how I tick and how other people tick, and just sort of study that a little bit more closely than a straight up crime novel might not ask you to do. So
yeah,
that's my answer and I'm sticking to it. Yeah.
That's fantastic though. So, I mean, you've been putting out books then since the 80s.
No, I started publishing in 2007. I started writing.
Oh,
in the 80s.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, that's a nice stretch, 2007. That's great. How has your writing changed over that time?
Wow. I think, there's no question I've gotten better. And the reason I can tell you that is because, I even look at the books that didn't, my agents, I had two good agents in the early 90s for two good projects. The story ideas were good. Mm-hmm. I am so glad they didn't sell those books because they were not well executed. My prose has gotten cleaner. My dialogue has gotten tighter. I think I'm a little more clear about what each scene needs to do. I know how to begin a scene and end a scene. I think I know a lot more about surprising the readers. I know about being more precise and more careful with every word, and to really challenge every word when I write it and sort of interrogate it in a good way and really ask, is this the right word you meant to use? Mm-hmm. So I think on all the micro levels and sort of the bigger chapter and bigger arc levels of a novel, I just think I've gotten better. When the first novel in the series came out, it did really well. It got some really good reviews, but the first publisher was small and went under. My second publisher was medium sized and went under. My third publisher gave me a two book deal. They are a nationally known medium sized house out of Minnesota. They, if this sounds like an echo, let me know, but they also went under. And so I had four books out, had written the fifth. Well, I got all my rights back and republished the whole series under my own brand because I wanted to keep them alive. Yeah. Well, I went back and rewrote that first book because my standards had changed. I didn't rewrite the second book. I didn't rewrite the third. I didn't rewrite the fourth. But that first book, the plot's the same. The mm-hmm. story arc is the same, but I went into the sort of the meat and potatoes of how paragraphs are put together. My style had changed. I think it had gotten, it was just kind of a little bit loose. It wasn't as tight and focused prose wise and dialogue wise as I needed it to be.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Some of those rejected stories, do you think those will ever see the light of day?
The very first novel I wrote, believe it or not, is still my favorite story and idea plot-wise. I've rewritten it probably half a dozen times since the 80s. My agent is currently sitting on that draft. He likes it a lot. Uh-huh. He also says this is your darkest book. And he's I'm actually due to chat with him this week about a number of different things, but I want to hear his plan because even if it only sells a few thousand copies, if I ever get it out there, I just love the basic arc of the story and the characters. So I'm really hoping for that one. My second book that I wrote and had a fantastic agent in the 90s, I hope it never sees the light of day. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Meanwhile, I'm sure you've got a file, like either a mental filing cabinet or a literal filing cabinet full of ideas that you're ready to move on with at some point.
Yep, I do. I've got a couple other projects that have been completed since, and a short list of ideas that keep kind of, you know, just bouncing around. And right now I'm working on a new project that'll keep me busy for probably a year and a half. And mm-hmm. I'll just keep going back to that list and, you know, revisiting those ideas. But I only work on, at least so far, I only work on one idea at a time. So we'll see where we are in a year and a half or so.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So one final question here, a little bit of a would you rather. So would you rather start over your writing career today knowing what you know now, or would you rather have a guarantee that your next book will be life-changing? Whether that's money, fame, all that.
No question. I'll take the latter. I so enjoyed learning and the whole process. I was slow. It took me 23 years to get my first book out. But I really enjoyed all that process, and I enjoyed kind of making my way, navigating my way, figuring out. I mean, the world changed so much from the 80s to now in terms of publishing and the whole landscape and everything.
Yeah.
But all my friends and supporters and networks that I developed along the way, they were there because, you know, I just kept working at it, and I wouldn't change anything about that whole, you know, vast. I'm so fortunate. So many fellow writers that I can go to conferences and just have no shortage of people to talk to who are friends. So yeah, I wouldn't give that up. I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't want to be a fast starter. And if I were to apply everything I think I know now and start over, yes, it would be a different life, but I would take, I'd leave that all intact and just see the next book go and do really well.
I think I agree. So cause it's, I think I could write better than I have, but at the same time, I still have to write those books.
Yeah.
And I've got new ones I'd rather write.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, the Fireballer.
Yeah.
I was just going to say the Fireballer has done really, really well. And I'm very proud of the, you know, increased visibility from writing those mysteries, which also did well in my book. And I'm very happy with all of it. But I feel like the Fireballer has clicked up the career a little bit. I mean, I'm a very small potato, no question about that. But it's nice to have a little bit broader reach with a good national publisher and all that.
Yeah, well, and that's fantastic. I was reading over some of the accolades that it's been collecting, and I mean, it's fantastic. And you got isn't it the Baseball Hall of Fame, I believe, is even recommending the book.
I did an interview in Cooperstown over the summer. They had me in for a interview that's still on their Facebook page if you want to go to that. And it was a wonderful honor to be invited to Cooperstown and be part of their summer reading series. Fantastic honor. And just found out tomorrow, actually, that the Twin Bill, which is a baseball literary journal, has named the Fireballer the best novel of the year, best baseball novel of the year.
Fantastic.
And it was a finalist for the Casey Award, which was an award for under the Spitball, which great name for a baseball literary magazine. Yeah. But it's a really well thought of award in baseball writing circles. And the Fireballer was a finalist for the Casey Award as well. So pretty darn proud of that.
As you should be. So, man, well, that's fantastic. And I cannot wait to be checking out, you know, seeing how it does over time. And I'm going to definitely be grabbing a copy of that for myself. Well, let our listeners know where they can find and follow you.
Yeah, I'm basically, if you put in the Fireballer and Mark Stevens, you'll should pop right up. I'm online wherever books are sold. My website is Writer Mark Stevens, on Twitter slash X at Writer Stevens. Instagram is Mark54 Stevens. And I also have a TikTok, and I'm trying to remember my TikTok handle right off the top of my head. But if you put in Fireballer Mark Stevens on TikTok, it should pop up there. So,
Fantastic. Of course, and
and
everybody, we're gonna have the links for all that in the show notes, so that way you can find all of Mark's information down there. You can just click that after you listen to this and find out more. Mark, thank you so much, and yeah, I cannot wait for next week when everybody gets to hear that sample chapter from the Fireballer.
thanks for the great chat, Jason.
Thank you. All right, everybody. So, like I said, don't forget to make sure you tune in next week. And until then, take care.